If I asked everyone in this room for a show of hands on who likes to receive a reward, I'm guessing that most everybody here would raise their hand and say yes. A reward, according to Webster's Dictionary, is something that is given in recognition of one's service, effort, or achievement. It's something that you have to work hard for in order to receive. So in school, for a reward, you might get to have a homework pass. You might get to draw on the chalkboard, or you might get to pick the game that you want to play at recess. At work, you might get a day off. You might get a gift card. And if you're lucky, you might even get a raise. But you know, rewards don't come easy. And most people who say that they want to receive a reward usually don't want to put the work and the time and the effort into receiving it in order to obtain it. Rewards are nice. However, we shouldn't just work for something just to get something. You know, we should want to work at something, hard at something all the time, and put all of our effort and energy into doing whatever our hand seems fit to do. According to Amelia Earhart, you can do anything you decide to do. You can act to change, control your life, and the procedure. The process is its own reward. I thought that was interesting because, again, it's not always about getting something for just a reward, about getting something in return. It's about doing something good all the time. And the end result of it will inevitably get you something good and positive. Well, today, with the time that I have remaining, I'd like to take a look at several rewards in the Bible, specifically in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, about overcoming. And so if you want a title for my message today, it's The Rewards for Overcoming. The Rewards for Overcoming. So what does it mean to overcome? You know me, I like words, so I broke it down. In the Greek, it means to conquer, prevail, or get the victory. In the Hebrew, it means to defeat. You know, I hear those words and I think of war. You know, if you're going to go to war with another nation or country, you want to overcome them, defeat them. You want to prevail against them. The dictionary definition for overcoming means to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty, to get the better of in a struggle. And if I think about that, I think about a wrestling match. You know, two guys or two girls going at it. You know, they want to pin the other opponent to the ground. It's a struggle. It's a fight. They want to get the victory. Or if you're dealing with an addiction, you want to overcome that. You want to be able to struggle and battle that all the way to the end to see it through. The synonyms for the word overcome are triumph, trounce, wallop, or win. But you know, it's the opposite of this word that I find quite fascinating, because it means indifferent, unbothered, or unconcerned. So if we're not trying our best to overcome something, then we really don't care about it, or we're indifferent to it, or we're unconcerned. Overcoming, brethren, is 100% necessary in order to obtain eternal life. You know, God called each and every one of us here to bear much fruit and to be a doer of his work, and to endure to the end. Again, these things are not easy, and it takes a lot of work. Well, before we get into the Revelation 2 and 3, let's take a look at a handful of scriptures about overcoming. Let's go to Romans 12, and let's see what it is that we actually have to overcome. Romans chapter 12. One verse, verse 21. It says, do not be overcome by evil. That word evil means worthless, bad, or immoral. But overcome evil with good. Favorable in character, or honest, or humility. I like the New Living Translation. It says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So we have to overcome that. That human nature, that evil, that's outside presence as well as inside of each one of us. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 5. It's for the second one. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 2 to 5. It says, by this we shall know the love of the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And by this we know the love of the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, again, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So we have to overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So we have something to help us be able to overcome the world. And he who overcomes the world, I'm sorry, who is he that overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So we have a few things here. We have to overcome the world. We have to overcome evil. We have to overcome sin. We have to overcome our human nature. And ultimately, we have to overcome Satan. And there's a lot more. That's just a small handful. That in itself is a lot of work. Now, going over to Revelation 2 and 3, if you have a marker, we're going to come back here a lot today. In order to understand Revelations 2 and 3, it's necessary to understand that the seven churches that are mentioned here were seven cities in the Roman province of Asia, which were connected to the church. And these were chosen because they were all located on the Roman mail route. And the purpose of the mail route was to provide channels of communication. Now, these messages were chronological. And since there were no phones or emails at the time, it was a means of communication. And it flowed from one city to the next. And it started in Ephesus, and it made its way all the way to Laodicea. Spiritually, this showed the history of God's church from the beginning to the end. Secondly, the mail route was established to show that the churches were cumulative. The messages were cumulative. When the mail arrived at the port of Ephesus, which is the first stop, the mail was then addressed to every city along the way until it reached Laodicea. It was delivered to them, picked up by Ephesus, and again, this was something that was cumulative all the way through, from beginning to the end. And again, when it came to Laodicea, it then was the recipient of all the messages that were prior to it, starting with Ephesus. Again, spiritually, it shows that the reward for overcoming was promised to each stage of the church. And we're going to see that very clearly by just the words that are used here. So let's go to Revelation chapter 2. If you're taking notes, point number one, we'll call it Ephesus. Revelation 2, verse 7. It says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. This wasn't just for the church of Ephesus, this was for all of the churches. It says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Hold your place here. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 or Genesis chapter 3. So we have the beginning of the story and the end. Everything else in the middle kind of tells it all, fills in the blanks. We know that this is a story about Adam and Eve. We know that they lost the right to have access to the tree of life. You know, they had made the wrong choice. Unfortunately, they chose from the tree, the wrong tree. And people say, well, if I was in the tree of the Garden of Eden, I would have chose the right tree. No, you wouldn't have. Romans, and it says in Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil every day. We'll pick it up here in verse 22. Genesis 3, verse 22. It says, then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also from the tree of life, eat and live forever. So God knew that this was a bad thing for Adam and Eve to do, for anybody for that matter, to be able to take of that tree of life after they had the knowledge of good and evil given to them. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned each way to guard the way of the tree of life. The only way now to have access to that tree of life today is by God calling us. And we find that over in John 6, verse 44. But it doesn't stop there. And once God calls us, we then have to respond to him. We have to be baptized. We have to be given his Holy Spirit. And then we have to be living the life that reflects him inside of us each and every day. But what a beautiful thing for God to be able to offer that up to us today as first fruits, and then for the rest of the world. God says if we overcome now, we'll be able to have that access to the tree of life for eternity. Revelation 22 verse 14 says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city." Again, there is something that we need to do in order to get to that point, to be able to receive that reward. We have to keep his commandments and we have to overcome. Point number two, Smyrna, Revelation 2, verse 11. Revelation 2, verse 11. "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," plural. "He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Again, these aren't any new scriptures. If I start turning anything new, get the hook and take me off, because I don't have anything new to say. It's all right here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. It says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." These physical bodies just won't cut it. "Nor does corruption inherit incorruption." He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery, though. We will not all sleep, but we all will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And then it will be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." I can't wait for that time. I can't wait for death to be put away, and sorrow and all that. And to be able to be given a body that just is full of energy and life and passion. Verse 55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" That word victory is overcoming. "The sting of death is in sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus Christ our Lord, he gives us that victory to be able to help us overcome, to be able to allow us to have the access to eternal life, to not be tasting that second death. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You see, we have a part to play. Abounding in the work, being his disciples, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Again, this is something that we'll hear about in the next week at the Feast of Tabernacles. Revelation 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So again, if we're overcoming in this life today and doing all the things necessary in order to show God that the spirit that he's giving inside of us isn't bottled up, that we're using it for good, to be an example and a light to the world, we'll have an opportunity to not have tasting that second death. Number three. Pergamos. This is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Revelation 2, verse 17. "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," plural. It's kind of a theme here. "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone. And on the white stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." So there's a few things here that we need to talk about. He says the hidden manna. And we know we read about that over in John 6, where we know that Christ is the manna. He is the bread of life. You know, Israel tasted that bread of life when they were in the wilderness, but they didn't understand it. This bread, again, is hidden from those who God has not revealed it to. Christ, when he was here on earth, he preached to them in parables because he didn't want the people to understand it, lest they understand and they would be held accountable for what they know. It wasn't their time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, and let's answer the question, how do we know, then, this hen and manna? How can we know God? First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I love that scripture. We have no clue what's out and ahead of us. No clue. But it gives us something in verse 10 that kind of gives us a little hint. This answers the question, how do we know God? How do we know that hidden manna? But God has revealed them to us, how? Through his Spirit. He gives us a Spirit. That's that access to the tree of life, to be able to taste that, to be able to have that inside of us, which most people in this world do not have. Again, it's not just given to us at baptism and God says, well, I don't care what you do with it. He says, you need to do something. You need to bear much fruit and continue to grow. It says, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Again, it's a wonderful thing that we can have something so beautiful given to us to be able to understand who God is. He also tells us that we'll have a stone given to us, and on that stone, a new name. That stone, I looked this up, and there's a couple of different ways you can look at this. In court, it represents a vote of innocence. A white stone is also represented by a token of favor or prosperity. Or it's also accepted or approval from God. I thought that was interesting because God is looking at us then a lot differently. He's saying, I'm accepting you. I'm giving you a vote of approval or innocence, that purity to be able to enter into his family. And he says that new name that will be given, and no doubt will reflect our character and tell us a lot about who we are. I don't know what my new name will be. Dummy. I say that jokingly, but I look at myself sometimes and I wonder, what does God see when he looks at me? What does he see when he looks at you? You know, and that's how we need to be living life, is how do we show God who we really are? And that name is going to reflect it. And as you know, recently I had a granddaughter. Her name is Cleo. Plug. Send pictures, son. That name Cleo means to praise, acclaim, or give praise or glory. And I give her a lot of glory, a lot of praise. I don't get to see her every day, but I get to see her on the phone. But that's what her name means. Can you imagine, again, the name that God will give to us? Again, their very names are very special to God. And I see Mr. Keeler sitting here, and I know he likes to give out homework assignments when he speaks. So I'll give you one. There's over 950 names of God and titles of God in the Bible. If you ever have a chance, do a study on some of those. It's quite fascinating. Again, he's our Father. He's who we are supposed to be like. And again, he's going to give us a new name if we overcome. Number 4, Thyatira. Revelation 2, verse 26. Revelation 2, 26. He who overcomes, and he adds, and keeps my works. So again, overcoming, prevailing, getting the victory over, succeeding with a struggle or a problem or a difficulty. And keeps my works to the end. Not just for 5 minutes. You know, not just you get dunked in the water, you come out, and that's it, and you don't have to worry about doing anything else. He says, he shall rule them with a rod. I'm sorry, and to the end. To him I will give power over the nations. That's incredible. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And then he closes by saying, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. That word power means authority. It says we'll have power over the nations. Many places in the Bible it says that we, the saints, will judge the world, that we'll rule with Christ. And again, we're going to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles here very shortly, a time that pictures that wonderful time where we will be spirit beings in His kingdom, teaching this world on what God's way of life looks like. And I'll go back to that and say, physically today, if we walk out this door, will people know that you are a child of God by your actions? Shamefully, I say to me, about me, I have a lot of work to do with that. But I'm trying. And it's definitely a daily process. But it's something that God expects us to do. Expects us to be overcoming and not being indifferent or unconcerned or unbothered with it. He says He will give us the morning star. Morning star is found in Revelation 22:16. If you're taking notes, you can reference it. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you the things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So God says that if we're overcoming, we're going to be able to be with Jesus Christ for eternity, to be in His family, ruling and reigning with Him as kings and as priests. I don't care if I'm a janitor. I just want to be there. I want to be a part of it. Because that's what He promises. If we're doing our part today, we'll get this beautiful reward given to us. Number 5, Sardis. This is found in Revelation 3, verse 5. Revelation 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. Clothed in white garments. We're already in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation 19 and verse 7. This refers to a wedding garment. Could refer to a wedding garment. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's us, his church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, has made herself ready. Remember, we have to be doing something. That word ready means internal fitness or to prepare thoroughly. It's a lot of work. It's not easy. It's so easy just to go the way of the world and not care about God's way of life. God says it's a narrow path to His kingdom. Narrow. And sometimes we find ourselves on both sides of that ditch, just trying to get back to the middle. It takes a lot of work. But it says, to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, or white. That white means dazzling white. I gave a message here a while back, and I had cards from Lowe's. Remember I showed all the cards about all the different colored whites there are? There was like 50 different color whites. And you know, when you hold up the one white, you go, "Hey, that's pretty white." You look at the next one, "Wow, that's even whiter." We can't even imagine how white that white's going to be. God says that's how you're going to look, how we're going to look. For that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. God says in Psalm 119:172, all of my commandments are righteousness. If we're keeping His law, if we're putting it into practice, if we're striving to overcome ourselves, this world, our human nature, the sin, the lust, the pride, He says, I'm going to give you something special. He says, I'm not going to blot your name out of the book of life. God's keeping track of what we're doing. You don't have to turn there. In Luke 10, verse 20, Christ says to His disciples, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Will your name be in that book? Will my name be in that book? I hope so. I hope so. I mean, again, I don't want to go through this life in this world just struggling through this and trying to really overcome and not be able to have that wonderful reward given to us. God says he promises it to us, though, if we are trying diligently each day. He also says that he will confess our name before the Father. Let's go to Matthew 10. This is fascinating in itself. I mean, as if everything else up to this point wasn't already pretty awesome. He says, I'm going to confess my name before his Father, before my Father. That word confess means to acknowledge or agree fully. Keep that in mind. He says, therefore, verse 32, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father who is also in heaven. Christ is going to acknowledge and agree fully about us to his Father, that we're worthy to be there because of the Spirit that he gives to us and the fact that we're trying to overcome. It's a gift. It's a reward. It's something that we should be looking forward to. When I put this message together, I was thinking about, it could have went a million different ways, but I wanted to give this as a message of hope for the holy days that are coming ahead of us here in the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day and Atonement on Monday. Something to look forward to, something to keep our eyes on, so that when the holy days are past and we go into that period of time between the eighth day and Passover, we have something to look forward to, that we're striving to always move forward, and that we'll hopefully be in the same seat here again next year, this time of the year, that we won't go by the wayside. Number 6, Philadelphia, Revelation 3, verse 12. You know we're almost coming to a close because we're on number 6 and I got 7 points, so. Number 6, Revelation 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God. And I will write on him and or her my new name. So we see here even Christ is going to have a new name. Verse 13, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. That word pillar means a strong, upright, or support. Now we know every building has a foundation, right? And we know that spiritually Christ is the chief cornerstone. But you know, it's necessary to have pillars to support the rest of the building, right? I mean, so you have the foundation. How could you have a roof if you don't have anything to hold it up? That's us. We're those pillars. That sends goosebumps up the back of my neck. It's standing up. We're pillars in God's family. If we overcome, you know, if we're able to endure and not be indifferent or unconcerned. Again, with the feast coming and about the roles in the kingdom that we're going to be playing, we need to be living like we're already in God's kingdom today. Setting that example and using the talents that God's given to each one of us in this room. And we're all different. And we're all at different levels. Some are stronger at other things and some are weaker at others. That's why we're here, to hopefully help each other. I look for people who are stronger than I am in certain things because I'm weak in certain areas. That's why we fellowship. That's why we come to church each week. God says if we're overcoming, we're going to be those pillars and supports in his family to be able to help other people someday too. And we need to be doing that today. Not just waiting until the kingdom comes. He also says that he's going to write on us his new name. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Because as we saw earlier, names are very important to God. And again, all these names mean something very special to him. It reveals his character. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, humility, mercy, all these things, they mean something to God. And they tell us about who he is. It's his character. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. We're God's children. Now I think about my kids. My kids have my name. Sorry, guys. They have my name. And when they go out in the world and they talk to other people, they interact with other people, they have my name, which means they're representing me out there in the world. And I know that they're doing a good job because I hear some people talk about how good they are, and sometimes not. But aren't we the same way? We're supposed to be God's kids. We're supposed to be reflecting his name and being able to be a good light and an example. I'm going to preach this over and over. Because again, this is a reward that's given to us. We're going to have his new name given to us. But he says, beloved, verse 2, now we are the children of God. And it has not been yet revealed what we shall be, but we know when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Again, everyone who overcomes will have this great gift and opportunity to be able to have his new name on him. Number 7, Laodicea. Revelation 3, verse 21. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So Christ had to overcome too. He had to overcome all the pulls of the flesh and all the things that we have to deal with as human beings in this world. And he did it. Thank God. He did it joyfully for us. Verse 22. And he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, plural. All cumulative, all chronological. From Ephesus all the way down to Laodicea. You know, when Christ died and took on our sins, he was resurrected and he was then brought back to the Father. And he's got to sit with him on his throne. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Because someday, brethren, we'll have that same opportunity. Can you imagine that? Sitting where Christ sits, where the Father sits? I'm sorry, my mind is small, it's tiny. Sometimes I can't comprehend all those things because it's too great. But it's here. It's promised to us. Revelation 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which the Father has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. What love, what mercy he has for each one of us. We were all dead man walking. But he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. That raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's what we're that's what the opportunity we have for each one of us to look forward to. We'll sit with him. We won't be hurt by the second death. We'll have a new name. We'll receive the morning star. We won't be blotted out of the book of life. We'll be clothed with white garments. We'll have Christ's name written on us. We'll be able to eat from the tree of life. We'll be able to eat from the hidden manna. We'll have power over the nations. We'll be clothed with white garments. We'll have our names confessed before God, and we'll be pillars in his family. Again, if that doesn't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, I don't know what does. I can't wait for that time. Today, brethren, we learn the importance of overcoming and the great rewards that are associated with it. This isn't just for one church group or one church era. This is for, again, all of those that have God's Holy Spirit that are part of the body of Christ, that are overcoming and using his Spirit to diligently have a relationship with him. Why is this so important? I'd like to close by reading Revelation 21, verses 6 and 7. Why is this so important? And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." Again, this is pictured in the water pouring ceremony on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus Christ says to all those who come to me that thirst, "Drink freely from me, and I'll give you that spiritual water to drink." He who overcomes, verse 7, he who overcomes or conquers, prevails, gets a victory, succeeds in dealing with a problem or difficulty, or getting the better of a struggle. If we're fighting to do all these things each and every day, he says, we will inherit all things. Not some things, but all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Happy Sabbath.